been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi there. Welcome to episode 601 of Recruiting Future with me, Matt Alder. Skill shortages, shortening skill lifespans, digital transformation, the AI revolution, hiring freezes, and layoffs. These are just some of the many factors currently reshaping how companies think about talent. It's clear that this level of disruption is now the new normal, rather than a short-term trend. So, how do TA teams respond? And what role do they have in helping employers redefine their thinking about talent, skills, and hiring? My guest this week is Rich Wilson, CEO and co-founder of Gigged.ai. Before he became a founder, Rich had a successful career as a recruiter and spent time as a Gartner analyst specializing in digital transformation and the future of work. In our conversation, we discuss skills-focused strategies to reinvent hiring and the part that TA teams have to play in this critical transformation. Hi, Rich, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Please, can you introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do?
Yeah, last time I seen you, it was in a pub in Las Vegas.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's why it's great to have you on the podcast. So
I appreciate you using that. I think I'd had one pint and you mentioned, and then you came around with the microphone. So I appreciate it. Be clearer this time. Yeah, I'm Rich Wilson. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Gigged.ai, a talent acquisition and talent management platform. As the name suggests, we break work into short-term gigs and then match to both internal and external talent pools. Before that, I was a recruiter for 12 years with a leaders group. And after that, I spent 3 years as an advisor, mainly in the future of work at Gartner to CIOs and CEOs at Fortune 500 and FTSE 100 companies. So always been involved in recruiting and talent management in some way.
Fantastic stuff. And, you know, that's kind of a really sort of unique set of experiences. And I think obviously very relevant for the kind of crazy times that we're going through at the moment. Now, I know that you do a lot of thinking and a lot of research and, you know, publish a lot of interesting reports as part of everything that you do. And Gigged.ai have recently published a new report. One of the big focuses of it is around skill shortages. Now, for people who aren't necessarily involved in technology hiring, a lot of the narrative around tech jobs is all around layoffs and the layoffs that big organizations are making. Talk us through what's actually going on in the industry, particularly around skill shortages.
Yeah, so it's an interesting time. If you think about, you know, skill shortages and layoffs are everywhere. There's obviously a lot of reports that went around even last week around a lot of these jobs are being lost because of generative AI. Not true, right? I think that you've got, hey, Microsoft are letting all these people go because they've been replaced with generative AI. I think there's a lot of like things going on from a job title perspective. If you think about it, if you break it down, if you're a hiring manager in the UK, and this is, you know, we've been very specific, the skill shortage is obviously everywhere, but very specifically in the UK, you've got a lot going on, right? Macroeconomic being one of them. So obviously Brexit took a lot of skilled jobs. That's continued to happen. So that's a big one. The skills being hired continue to change. Digital transformation, even though it's quite an old term, is rife, right? You obviously talk a lot about it in your book. Every single FTSE 100 company and 250 and even SMBs are doing some form of digital transformation just now. That requires a certain skill set. You need certain skills, especially now if you're doing a generative AI pilot, you might go out to market and say, hey, I need some Gen AI skills. Accenture have said they're going to hire 35,000 Gen AI experts in the next 2 years. Well, where are you going to find these people? There's less people coming through university, especially in Scotland, you know, computer science and data science degrees. There's less local people coming into them than ever before. So if you think about it, yes, there's a lot of layoffs, but those layoffs are very much CapEx, OPEX switches, right? The people are still needed. There's still a demand for someone to do it. but they're just going to look to hire that person in a different way. They're going to outsource it, you know, to a TCS or whoever. They're going to look maybe to for a consultant from Deloitte. They're going to hire some contractors. They're going to hire different models. At the end of the day, the demand is still there for people on digital transformations more than ever. It's not slowing down. But the talent pool, in terms of where you would normally go to, has shrunk considerably. And again, that is there's just not enough supply to deal with the demand. There's some legislation going on there as well. You know, there's a lot going on around taxation, especially in Scotland and England. There's obviously IR35, which is causing a lot of uncertainty as well. There's obviously election, general election, Scottish election. There's a lot of elections going on in the next 12 to 18 months. So all of that is creating a perfect storm. And if you are a hiring manager right now going out to look to bring in a new skill, you have got a headache. And it's not the case that all these layoffs are just making more people to go and do your jobs. It's just not correlating that way. And I don't think we've ever seen it like this.
No, and I think the skill things are so interesting as well, because I've had a sort of number of conversations in the last few weeks with people for the podcast about skills and really the lifespan of skills. And, you know, I was talking to a chief people officer who was saying that in some cases, the lifespan of some of the skills they need is 6 months. So massive effect on how people think about hiring. I laughed earlier when you said about hiring 30,000 Gen AI specialists, because sadly I'm old enough to remember the e-commerce revolution around the year 2000, and it was full of people wanting to hire 50,000 e-commerce specialists when e-commerce had only just been invented. So it's kind of interesting that that's kind of come around again, but obviously at a time where the lifespan of skills is so much shorter.
Yeah, well, I think we've seen it with the blockchain bubble 2-3 years ago, right? Web3 everywhere. You know, there's lots of Solidity developers, lots of demand for all these skills, and those skills have pretty much disappeared, right? Mainly because the success or use cases for blockchain was quite minimal. There are success and use cases for it to work, makes a lot of sense. But for the widespread organizations, it doesn't, right? So I think we're going through that similar experiment at the moment. How many actual successful use cases are we going to see for Gen AI? There are some obvious ones and there are some great ones already. You know, we've integrated it pretty early. It's our most used feature is our Gen AI feature, most used one by a country mile. So that has worked, but you're seeing more and more of that. So yeah, this like you said, that is changing in terms of the levels of demand, the type of skill. You know, prompt engineering is one of the biggest ones. Are you going to need a prompt engineer in 12 months when most people have got a digital dexterity to do it? Probably not, right? But you're going to need more cybersecurity experts, data privacy experts? Probably, right? That's going to be the next kind of worms, which is going to happen. You know, I would imagine in 3 years' time, one of the biggest, most in-demand skills are going to be cybersecurity and going to be data engineering. We talked about it in the report, you know, how BT have been working to reskill a lot of the people in their, you know, in their shops. You know, sales managers in an EE shop are being retrained as cybersecurity consultants. You know, we're going to see much more of this upskilling and reskilling as big companies try and plug the gap.
I want to come back to upskilling, reskilling, and also how this affects the way companies think about recruiting just a little bit later. But before we do, though, one of the sort of really interesting parts of the report for me is where you talk about some of the future of work trends that you're seeing and their impact. Talk us through some of those.
Yeah, so every year, you know, Gartner releases its future work trends. And, you know, to be honest, they're the ones that people look to the most for inspiration. And this year, I think they've been really interesting. I think some, I'm not sure if I totally agree, but some I totally agree with. So, you know, the nine trends have really focused on different areas. But the number one of it is the cost of work, surprisingly, right? So that was the number one future work trend for 2024 is around the cost of work. And that is all around the mental, the physical, and obviously the monetary side of actually people doing the work, right? And that is why we're starting to see companies shrink their workforce, because the sheer cost and that people are starting to want to work different ways around for their own mental health. And this is what we're starting to see around, you know, around these directives to come back to work. You know, some of them are going down like a lead balloon. You know, the third biggest trend that Gartner cited was the 4-day working week and how we're going, that's going to become normal this year. Again, not sure if I really buy into that based on that. I think we're still in this whole remote versus hybrid versus back in the office mandate. And I think until that is blown over, I don't think the 4-day work will really crack on. But then it's talking around how AI creates a new workforce opportunity. That's number two. And I think that is a really interesting one about how it's around, it's creating opportunity and it's not just about job replacement. You know, I very much, and I write about it in the report, I definitely see Gen AI as an augmentation. It's a way to make people more productive. I really don't think it's going to have the mass layoffs or anything to do with that. And I don't think we're going to see lots of jobs replaced because of what's going on with generative AI. And that kind of puts me to the next point. Number five on the trends was that Gen AI will have painful costs. And I think those costs, like some of the, I don't know if you've seen some of them out there. I think somebody bought a car for $1, you know, but places using chatbots without training them. I think unless you do, you know, piloting Gen AI in a safe space makes a lot of sense. So we're going to see tons of Gen AI pilots. One of the biggest things we get asked for is skills around generative AI pilots. I think piloting around use cases is really sensible, but we will see some data privacy issues this year. We will see some cybersecurity problems, and we need to be really mindful of that. You know, if you think back in the day, I forget what one, but I don't know if you remember, was it Chancellor that read the left the one of his briefcases on a, you know, on a underground tube underground train in London?
Yeah, it happened to quite a few times actually. People leaving things on the tube.
Gen AI, if you're a CEO using some Gen AI tools, it's kind of similar, right? And that's the painful cost. If you put some really highly confidential information in and it's asking it to, you know, rewrite it or review this for me, you really need to be careful around your data privacy. And it's the same thing, right? So I think we will see I think we will see that briefcase moment used by a generative AI tool. And I think that is where we need to be really careful.
And do you think that, you know, you're saying that Gen AI is not going to take jobs away. Do you think it might fill some of these skill shortages, though?
There's kind of two answers to that. I think, first of all, what we've seen in a report from the research that we've done, 51% of hiring managers are considering using Gen AI to help with the skill shortage. I think there's definitely use cases when Gen AI can help you fill a gap in the short term. For example, you know, we've definitely seen, you know, customers using generative AI. Maybe it's around digital marketing. Maybe it's around particular, you know, creating particular designs. Definitely seen it to help, like maybe the copywriting as well. We've seen copyright tools get used. You know, if you're trying to build a new product and you need to get the tagline in the website, you know, you can use a generative AI tool to create that. I think what we're seeing largely is, though, that this work still needs to be reviewed by an expert. You know, these tools are there. So I think there are definitely examples where it can actually help in the moment. But if you have a glaring gap, hey, I am about to put out this new piece of software and I don't have a copywriter, then Gen AI could help you at least prolong that need maybe for a month or two. But when you go live, and you've got a CEO saying, right, you're about to go live in that product, you're going to want a human to review that copy, right? And an expert to review that copy. You know, and I think the same thing goes with code. If you're putting out your code or you're using a data analysis tool, before that goes to the board or before that goes out to the world, you're going to want a human to expert to review that, right? And I think we'll see a lot of roles become more of a review and augmentation of generative AI, but not as a full replacement for it. That's definitely the way we see it. But yeah, as I said, over half of managers are going out and using generative AI tools to help with the here and now. And I think most people, you know, if they were telling the truth, would say, yeah, they're probably doing the same.
So you sort of mentioned that this is a perfect storm. There's so much going on in terms of, you know, skill shortages, skills going out of date very quickly, lots of unknowns about Gen AI and what's it doing and what's it not doing. What do talent acquisition professionals need to do? What do they need to think about when it comes to recruiting in this kind of environment? How do they need to think about talent differently?
Well, I think going back to the current trends that Gartner put out, I think two that are really worth looking at right in the here and the now are number six is skills over degrees. You know, it's about really starting to look at skill-based hiring over just hiring based on the fact they went to a university for 4 years and they've done something for 3 years. Right? Really looking at different skills to fill skill gaps instead of thinking really long-term. So I think that is something that is that we're going to see more and more of. And then the other one was that career stereotypes are collapsing. That's something that we're seeing a lot with Gen Z. So, you know, 57% of Gen Zs now take a freelancer contingent role before they take a permanent job. So I think those two alone, skill-based hiring and looking at different ways you can onboard different types of talent is really, really important. You know, I think the days of just having a grad scheme or an early talent scheme and then having a perm scheme, you know, Gartner predicts those days are gone, and I do too. I think going back to your question around, hey, you're in TA and, you know, what are you going to do this year? Because I said, I don't think we've ever seen a more difficult time to be ahead of TA than we currently have, right? If you think about the massive overhiring that happened over the last few years, again, that's not TA's fault, right? TA people had to jump in and deal with that hiring. And then now, if you think about the amount of TA people being made redundant, that are open for work, that are struggling to pick up. I know lots of amazingly talented TA people who are struggling to pick up a job, right? It's a really, really difficult time. And I think this is where you can really, really looking at different ways to stay valuable, stay relevant and add value to, you know, to the C-suite. So ironically, I know I said I was kind of lukewarm in Gartner's trends for 2024. I think a lot of the answers are in Gartner's trends in 2023. So the number one trend in 2023 was quiet hiring. And I really, really believe that quiet hiring is something that TA teams really need to embrace this year. And it has three key components. So quiet hiring kind of got left behind or ridiculed a little bit because it came right after quiet quitting. Remember that term came and left us? Well, quiet hiring came and I think it was written off because it was a bit of a clickbait title. But quiet hiring is actually, it's really, really simple, right? There's three key components to it. It's about internal mobility, upskilling and reskilling. I don't know, they should probably make that four, but they say it's three. And then the third one being contingent hiring. And I think if I was ahead of TA right now, you know, I would really be looking at those three things and going, right, what quick wins do we have to be able to get the right skills in place without necessarily having more permanent headcount? Because what we're seeing, go back to your first question about the layoffs, we are seeing hiring freezes, right? 58% of the companies that we talk to, and these are leaders in the UK, 58% say they currently have a hiring freeze right now. So if you have a hiring freeze right now and you're in TA, you're obviously feeling worried about that. But as I said, I think by embracing those three parts of quiet hiring, you can really add a lot of value.
Talk us through them a little bit in terms of what you think TA people should be doing, what you're seeing with the employers that you work with.
Yeah, so the first one is obviously internal mobility. You know, something you obviously talk about in the book. It was something that when I was at Gartner, I didn't know anything about internal mobility before I was at Gartner. Gartner talked a lot about internal talent marketplaces and gave a lot of advice to CHROs and CEOs and COOs about why they should create internal talent marketplaces. Something that, you know, we've obviously built a SaaS product which allows companies to create one really quickly. But that is a really quick way, whether you do it yourself or whether you use a piece of software like ours, being able to find a really good way to look internally before you go externally. I think, you know, in the book you said 5% of, only 5% of companies actually look internally before they go externally. If you can have a good process to know what skills do you actually have in play, and it goes back to Gartner's trends this year, skills over degrees, what skills do I have in my current organization? We're going out and saying we need a, you know, we need a cybersecurity, we need a Python developer, we need someone that can do Gen AI prompts. If you're an enterprise, you've got over probably 500 employees, there's a good chance there's somebody in your organization with that. But right now, most leaders are either track the skills in an Excel spreadsheet or, and no disrespect to them, but on Workday, right? And the day that they signed up, you know, the day they got the job, sorry, their CV went into Workday, it pulled the skills and that's their skills, but people's skills update. And I think being able to, you know, being able to pilot, and again, I talked about Gen AI pilots, being able to pilot internal mobility in a small scale is a really good way to show value, because you can actually show an ROI really quickly, because you can say, hey, look, we were actually about to put a requisition out for someone paying £80,000 doing this skill. We actually found that we actually had two people internally who could actually do it on a side basis or a secondment or whatever. But being able to do that is really, you know, really interesting. I think if you're a TA leader, that would be my number one advice to this year. Pilot internal mobility. You know, don't think it's really difficult to do. It's really not. I said there's software that can help you do it quite cheaply and quite easily. There's definitely different ways to do it, but it's something that we're seeing more and more.
A quick message from our sponsor, Wonolo. Hi everyone, I want to tell you about Wonolo. That's W-O-N-O-L-O. Wonolo stands for Work Now Locally. Wonolo enables businesses to find quality workers for on-demand, seasonal, short-term and long-term work. Ditch the bulky paperwork and interview process and use Wonolo to find quality workers fast and get work done even faster. With flexible workers and no platform fees, you can save on operating costs, meet demand and maximise earnings with ease. Wonolo is available in over 100 markets, including Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, New York and Seattle. Get workers who are ready to work and spend less time finding them with Wonolo. Go to www.wonolo.com/pod. That's www.wonolo.com/pod and take the stress out of finding workers.
Imagine how fast we could solve the world's biggest problems if more SaaS startups would gain traction sooner. Welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. This podcast is dedicated to sharing experiences from B2B SaaS CEOs who are going above and beyond to deliver change that is noticed. You will hear their secrets and learn what is required to build a SaaS business that the world starts talking about and keeps talking about, and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.
What about contingent hiring? That's obviously, you know, something that's very, very core to what you do. How is that changing? How do people need to think about that differently?
Yeah, I think there's a big paradigm shift needed here. Now, obviously, I was a contract recruiter during the deep recession in 2008 and what came out of that. So, you know, it's a space that I know particularly well and I'm really passionate about. I think in terms of traditionally, we've always thought about contingent hiring really being one way and one way only, and being contract hiring. And that contract hiring being through an MSP, obviously a VMS to manage. And we've always kind of thought about these large contingent of work programs. You know, a lot of the time, contingent hiring won't hit ahead of TA. There'll often be a team that will focus on, you know, the contingent work program. But I think that's another paradigm that I think is going to change. You're going to expect more ownership under the one person. There's going to be less, less contingent work programs. But I think there are so many other ways to hire talent that is not just through a contractor, but is short term. You know, I talk a lot about statement of work. You know, the statement of work market in the UK alone is £16 billion right now. That was the SIA research. That's a huge market. You know, it's nearly 300 million. Of talent is hired through a statement of work. There's two types of statement of work: time and material, which is, you know, staffing agencies do, most consultancies work that way. But then you get the one, and this is the one that I'm most passionate about through our platform, is outcome-based statement of work. You're seeing more and more companies offer outcome-based, whereas you pay based on milestone and you tap into different talent pools. The other one being is interim hiring, you know, and we're seeing more fractional CTOs, fractional CFOs. We're seeing more leadership teams being hired. Fractional. One of the other ones I love just now is talent sharing. There's a company, you know, UK-based company called Ditto that I really like. They do secondments. So let's say I have a finance assistant, and that finance assistant, I don't have demand for that person right now. They've actually got a marketplace where other companies can hire them on secondment. They just pick up their permanent salary, and they actually bill it to that company. So that company actually can generate revenue. So if you think about it, you know, there's companies like Vodafone who use that, who actually generate revenue from their current people. On our open talent platform, I won't name the names, but we've got some large global consultancies that have bench resource on our platform. They're picking up work, and that company is actually generating the revenue stream through that. So talent sharing is one that we're seeing more and more. You know, so again, and that's not a contractor, right? But still contingent. Freelance and gig work, obviously Upwork and Fiverr's shares have doubled this year. We're seeing more and more demand through these freelance gig platforms. Again, I wouldn't say that we're one of them. We're kind of in that space, but we're actually more of an outcome-based platform and an internal talent marketplace. We're actually not trying to be an Upwork or a Fiverr, as people often think. But as I said, Upwork share price doubled this year. So far this year, it has doubled because more and more companies are hiring that way. And then the one that I really like, which I think we should see more in the UK, NASA have been doing this for years, is open innovation challenges, putting out challenges about things that you need done. NASA built the data mapping for the asteroids via open innovation challenges. It's an amazing way, and you can use gig platforms to do it, but it's a way to tap in. You know, for example, in our open talent marketplace, the people that we have on that, contractors, sure, traditional freelancers, but then there are the boutique consultancies I mentioned, but the most interesting one, and actually we're 70% of the skills that we place are side hustlers. So you can have people who are permanent, but actually have their own consultancy on the side. So for example, we had a huge shipping company, and they needed their cybersecurity strategy reviewed. Now, they went out to the big boys, but it was too expensive. They didn't have the budget. So they put it onto our platform, and they got a CISO from a bank. So there's no competition between a shipping company and a bank. And that CISO has his own side company, and all he does is review cybersecurity strategies for large companies. I think they were able to do it for $3,000 instead of $30,000 that they were quoted. Again, it's just a different way, and especially if you're trying to tap into some of the Gen AI skills that I mentioned earlier in the podcast, there are different ways to tap into that. The days that of, hey, a contingent is just a contractor through an MSP are gone. There are just so many different ways to tap into the global workforce. And again, this is why I think we're growing so much this year, is that especially in the UK, companies are going, how do I tap into these talent? I have skills that I need right now. I don't have perm headcount. I can't hire a contractor. And let's not forget the issues that IR35 has created, right? Since it came in, obviously IR35 is not new, but what happened in 2021 through the reform, that created a lot of grey areas where a lot of companies just, you know, put a blanket ban on outside. Actually, by finding a way to compliantly hire outside IR35, again, you need to do it through a statement of work is a way to do it. And through an outcome SOW is actually the way to do it compliantly. If you can do that, again, the talent pool then broadens massively, right? And I think that's the massive opportunity that we have in TE, that traditionally it's been, right, we have 1,000 roles to fill. How do we get all these roles filled permanently? Then we have the contractor MSP to bring in contractors quickly when we can't get someone in or we don't need them permanently. But the huge opportunity we have now is that through internal mobility, contingent, upskilling, reskilling, and all the different technology platforms out there, you know, you can actually build amazing skills without having to have thousands and thousands of perm. You know, Sam Altman, the OpenAI CEO, has said, and I don't know if I totally agree with this, but he said that we are not long away from seeing the first billion-dollar company with one person. And what he means by that is that through access to on-demand talent and Gen AI, you could build a really valuable business. And I think this is a different way of looking at it now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to kind of, in a way, summarize for us, where is this all going to go? If we were having this conversation in 5 years' time, what do you think the talent space will look like by then?
That's a great question. I think we will see much more technology being adopted. I think over COVID, we obviously seen a massive explosion in HR tech. And HR tech has had its ups and downs with VC funding. It's kind of backing it up again. You know, even this year alone, we've seen more HR tech deals than we did pretty much all last year. So I think we're going to see much more HR tech solutions. We'll see much more consolidation between the large companies. Obviously, Workday being in a massive acquisition spree, but I think we'll see a consolidation. But we will see HR technology being at the core of how we work. Gen AI will not go away, but the use cases that are successful will then be amplified. So there will be elements of roles that will be largely staffed by AI agents. You know, SDRs potentially being one of them. You know, there's a company in London called 11X building, you know, SDR and sales experts who are AI agents, right? They're not real people. They look like real people, they talk like real people, but they're not real people. So I think we will see more of that augmentation of AI tools in real. And I think we will see a shrinkage of the amount of people that you actually need on a full-time basis. Like I said, I don't think we will see a reduction in the amount of people we actually need to do digital transformations or to run companies, but how those people are engaged will change massively. I was on an open assembly call last week, which is a collective of TA leaders, open talent CEOs, you know, just a real collection of people. And they shared the Harvard Business School were on sharing an example of UST, which are a huge outsourcing company. And they created a center of excellence for open talent. And they now hire 20% of all roles now that they hire through this open talent center of excellence. So instead of it being a permanent requisition now, they go through open talent first, then permanent. And if you think traditional contract hiring always was, I'll hire perm, and if I can't hire perm, I'll hire a contractor until I find one. I think that whole pie then is just going to be blown up over the next 5 years, and we will actually see open talent center of excellences. We'll actually see generative AI center of excellences or generative AI leaders where certain areas are augmented with Gen AI bots with, you know, a small team overseeing what that happens. But I do think this is when, over the next 5 years, we will see more change than we have. And over the last 3 years, we've seen probably more than we've seen in 10 years because of COVID. But I think that genie's now out the bottle. Generative AI is now out the bottle. I said blockchain's, you know, definitely diminished, but that's not a way. Quantum computing is obviously the next big trend, which means that we're going to be able to deal and process much more data much faster. That's the next big trend coming. So these technology trends are not going anywhere. But I do think over the next 5 years, we will see a real change in how we build knowledge workers and how we build companies. I do think, you know, you've seen these behemoths that have got like 55,000 permanent employees. We will see a reduction in that for sure. There's no doubt about that.
Rich, thanks very much for talking to me.
No problem. Pleasure, Matt.
My thanks to Rich. You can follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, Recruiting Future Feast, and get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show. Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.